Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Good morning, Metroplex. Happy hump day to you.
Hey.
We're sitting here in the middle of your week trying to get you to your Friday and your weekend as quickly as possible. Look at that lineup on 75 out there one way. So be careful. Be careful lined up in that. Otherwise, you'll be late like Bobby this morning. Sean Shreve.
Tyreek Hill will get pulled over for speeding in that.
I was going as fast as Tyreek in that.
Tyreek was going 60, maybe.
Oh, well, then I was going twice as fast.
Who are the idiots who said he was going 120?
Well, they were eyeballing it, so who knows?
I mean, you can tell, right? I mean, we pretty clearly saw that wasn't 120 in the video.
Sean Shreve, RJ Choppy, Bobby Belt. We got Pepe behind the glass live on the fan cam, Twitch, and YouTube. Let's take you around the NFL real quick. By the way, Don Van Natta listening to the Jerry Jones interview, the awesome investigative reporter from ESPN. Yo, Don, you could have given me a heads up that you were going to have a little Jerry Jones mention in your article that just dropped. This is about Robert Kraft's bitterness of not going into the Hall of Fame. Now, he's so desperate. He doesn't understand why he's not a Hall of Famer. No owner has tried harder to get in. And here's the blurb about Jerry real quick. Jerry was inducted in August 2017. He threw himself a glitzy party in Canton, headlined by Justin Timberlake. Back in Foxborough, Kraft and his supporters reacted to Jones' induction with anger and confusion. They seethed that Hall voters did not seem to appreciate Kraft's work to grow the league through media and labor deals and the Patriots' unparalleled dynasty. Kraft saw the selection of his arch rival as an insult, a verdict that Jones is more responsible for the NFL's astonishing success. Kraft told a confidant, quote, he hasn't been in the NFC title game in 2 decades and he gets in. How does that work? So there's a little Jerry Jones blurb for the Robert Kraft Hall of Fame piece that Don Van Natta just dropped.
That's an egomaniac then who doesn't have any understanding of why Jerry's in. Or just has an inflated self-view to believe, like, I'm just as responsible for the league growing as Jerry's. No. Like, I mean, there's a lot we can say about Jerry and the way things have gone for the Cowboys, but in terms of...
Well, I think he also thinks he should be in because of, you know, the dynasty and all success. The
wins. Yeah, but I mean, but in general, like, that's not a default, like, guarantee that people get a lot of times. It's just like, I was the owner of a dynasty. That doesn't always get you in these leagues. And that's not... I mean, that probably helped Jerry a little in connection with all the other stuff he did to grow the league.
Are the owners of all the other dynasties in? Is Rooney in? Is... DeBartolo in?
Let me look at DeBartolo.
You know, is, you know, Tech Schramm or, you know, the owner during the Cowboy heydays back under Landry
Rooney,
in?
Rooney definitely.
DeBartolo is in.
Okay. Yeah, but I mean, I think you could say DeBartolo, Rooney, Jerry, like they all did more specific.
Art Modell is the one that did all the TV stuff way back, right? He was like the original Jerry from a TV perspective.
Yeah, and so you've got like all these guys who, I don't know. I mean, they just said it there that he's bitter about the contribution. I've never heard like of the massive contributions Kraft has done to the league. I haven't heard about it. In fact, I hear him more frequently getting in trouble in connection with the stuff where they're cutting corners.
What should just the 6 rings get him in? The owner of that?
I mean, look, that's the most... I mean, he has lorded over the most rings in league history. That should probably get him in.
All right, Justin Fields is going to be the Steelers quarterback for week 2, and I had to see it to. Well, no, I did believe it, not seeing it, but I saw it this morning. What you said, Russell Wilson did.
Oh my God! So how on brand was this from Russell Wilson? So. He was out there in pregame warmups, taking warmups, right? But during the game, he was fully dressed in uniform.
While inactive?
While inactive.
Officially now, inactive.
Yeah, because I guess he's game day inactive because he was technically the emergency third. Maybe they could say that was his out because he's the emergency third. But he was inactive. He was an inactive quarterback.
I have to, now that you say this, Lance may have been. Lance may have been dressed. I don't remember. He was pregame.
Why would you dress?
Because if you are emergency, I guess, then like
inactive.
I know, but if you're the emergency third quarterback, like you can, because of the San Francisco rule, you can be tapped in case somebody gets hurt.
Okay.
So I don't know if it's like
it just seems so on brand for Russ to be in full uniform. But that's it.
He would be. I picture Russell Wilson in full uniform when he goes out to dinner. Like I feel like he wears his own jersey to dinner.
Meanwhile, we gotta all play visual doctor. The Kirk Cousins, Warren Sharp stuff. I think that's concerning and. Maybe it's setting us up for an all-time bad NFL draft take, which I'll get to in a second.
Yeah, so there's a video posted from Warren Sharp that just shows every single drop back by Kirk Cousins in week one from that all-22 end zone camera. Now, Kirk is almost exclusively in the shotgun in this game, which that's fine if that's the offense. If that's the offense, that's fine. But it's not really for that. It looks like it's for his ankle. And almost every single snap, there's no drop back from the gun. He takes the snap and basically just shifts his weight and then throws it. Now, you can say he's just trying to get the ball out quick and all that stuff, but he stands there. He throws. That Achilles is not ready.
Doesn't look it.
There are some throws where he's clearly not putting any weight on it. And beyond that, they were very predictable. On 22 snaps from the shotgun, they had zero running plays. And on 26 snaps from the pistol, they had 21 running plays, which is like 80-something percent. Every defense, the defense knew exactly what was coming from Pittsburgh after about, I don't know, the third or fourth play of that game. But it was crazy to see that video. Like, that to me, that Achilles is not ready. And, you know, they're going to have a decision to make on Penix. Like, he's healthy. And Kirk is not. And they also paid Kirk all this money.
Yeah, I mean, this is two risky selections, though, because there's a lot of people who didn't. A lot of teams had Penix off their board because they didn't like his knees. They thought his knee injuries were too concerning.
But he throws a tremendous football.
Yeah, he's an incredible deep ball passer. When did he get? So he was middle of last year when Cousins tore that.
Like in 10 months.
There were people who were wondering if 12 months basically was too fast coming back on Rodgers.
It could make everyone, all of us, look bad who laughed at them and destroyed them for taking Penix, but maybe not. Because then you shouldn't have given Cousins. Like, there's no way out for Atlanta, right?
It's sort of like what we're talking about last week with Leiter, where it's if you knew Leiter wasn't an ace, all right, well, then the problem is that you drafted somebody who you knew wasn't an ace. So if Cousins isn't healthy, it's like, well, then you guys are idiots for not only signing somebody who's not healthy, but also you tampered with him and knew way in advance that he wasn't healthy.
Over to Chicago Radio, 670 The Score.
That's a pretty, like, famous station.
Yes. Very, very famous. Very famous. So I guess there's a host named Dan Bernstein, and they had on, you know, Barstool kind of has different city representation, and I guess Barstool Eddie is their Chicago person. And Barstool Eddie... Right. Went on this show.
Yeah, the way it was presented to me, the way I looked at it, he was doing, it was like a crosstalk kind of thing. So he was doing the show after this Bernstein. And so they were doing Bernstein and Holmes, they were doing crosstalk, and Barstool Eddie is on this next show. And he calls him Bernstein, just calls him Bernstein. And that triggered Dan Bernstein.
He wants to see that, especially after you had the ghost pepper.
Horoscope guy Bernstein?
No. Oh, no? God, no.
I didn't know.
Yeah.
You
know? No.
Yeah, you can call me Dan or you can call me Bernsey, but you don't know me like that.
Got it.
Eddie got you. Eddie's there with you.
Was he serious?
He looks serious. And then because
Bernsey. You can call me Dan or call me Bernsey. Don't call me by my last name.
By your last name.
Has anyone in history ever said that?
No. Like, you could call you by the nickname, but you think the nickname would be more. Hey, this is more close.
Yeah.
So at first it was like, all right, is this real or not? Like, are they really upset? But then they do another shot.
Let me hear it one more time. Let me hear it one more time, Peyton.
He wants to see that, especially after you had the ghost pepper.
Horoscope guy Bernstein?
No. Oh, no? God, no.
I didn't know.
Yeah.
You
know? No.
Yeah, you can call me Dan or you can call me Bernsey, but you don't know me like that.
Got it.
Eddie got you. Eddie's there with you.
Oh, my God. Relay that video you're showing me.
All right. So there's another video. They did a close-up.
I watched.
On
yeah,
the fan cam.
Guy looks like Mike Singletary.
Yeah. So Holmes says, what did he call you? You can see him mouthing, what did he call you? And Bernstein gives this like stank face and is like, Bernstein.
With his glasses on the tip of his nose, like God, an angry librarian.
Like this guy. And now Portnoy made a 5-minute video just going off on this guy. And basically saying to all the stoolies out there,
destroy their radio show.
Destroy them. You professionally annihilate them.
Yeah.
So this guy.
Call in. Show up at remotes.
Yep.
And harass. And do you think that?
I'm sure they will.
Yeah.
He has ruined three pizza places. Like, I mean, just.
Oh, he has.
There's one of these pizza places got shut down. Like they lost their business because he was like, they're trash. Go. I don't think he even sicked him on him. It was just people reacting that way. This guy's a self-important.
This is bad.
This is an awful look.
Is this worse than Michael K?
Yeah, this is worse than Michael K. But I mean,
like, maybe if you're saying this to the father of the girl you're dating, that type of disrespect, you don't go and be like, all right, Russell. What do you think there, Russell? Although Russell can be mistaken for a first name. All right there, Belt.
Belt.
That's disrespectful.
Yeah.
But otherwise, anyone coming in here?
You don't know me like that.
Saying it by the last name? Yeah. Choppy? Imagine if no one could call you Choppy.
I mean, I don't know what to do. You know what I get offended by? When people call my kids that instead of me.
Yeah.
That's my name.
That's my name.
They might be losing two egomaniacs in 3 weeks over there.
Of course, today is September 11th, and Choppy, RJ, Ralph.
Ralph, which his friends call him.
Are you telling me that Liv and the PGA, they're not trying to work out a deal today?
Well, they are. There's 9/11 victim families are pretty upset because there is now we will be out at the Liv tournament next week.
Okay, so we got Firehouse Tour in Burleson this Friday, Firehouse number 1, and then next week we're going to be at the Liv tournament.
Yeah, so they were meeting. They started the meeting on Tuesday, and they're meeting for a few days in New York City. So it's going to be Tiger Woods will be there, PGA Tour officials will be there, representatives from Saudi Arabia's Public Investment Fund will be there. They all flew in on Tuesday. They're meeting today. They met a little bit yesterday. They're also going to meet, like I said. The meetings are scheduled to last a couple of days, and 9/11 victims' families are quite upset with this, slamming the PGA Tour because today is September 11th. It's the 23rd anniversary, and CBS News had a report, a couple years ago that said, or more than a couple years ago, that said, Saudi Arabia's government had a huge hand in the attacks and carrying out the attacks. So the families are quite upset. And
you and I are usually in lockstep over not overreacting to optics and stuff like that. The Shador tweet is a non-story.
Absolutely.
This they should be a little bit more cognizant of if this is happening today.
Right, because in about 90 minutes.
This was a huge, huge fight when all this first started.
Absolutely, because it was a huge fight. The 9/11 families were obviously upset, but now to do this in New York. Like in 90 minutes, the chief of police is going to read off 3,000 names. And you're going to be having this meeting down the street. I don't know. Like, that seems a bit optically quite bad.
More optics. There are also people who are upset this morning, I guess, that the New York Post has written a story about Daniel Jones. And some people are saying that this is awful cover imagery for them to be using on 9/11 with the fire, the city of New York burning, basically.
What is the headline? What does it say?
It says Daniel Jones's stunning ineptitude has made for a massive Giants mess. And then you see like New York burning behind Daniel Jones.
Who wrote that?
The New York Post.
Idiotic.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Yeah. People are implied to go, really tasteful picture on 9/11, guys. Yeah,
that's the one, like, that's the one city, in D.C. as well. You just, on this day, you got to, like, really be careful of what you're,
oh my gosh,
what you're putting out there.
Get a calendar. Just look at the
calendar. It's that easy.
Look at the calendar. All right, everything we think you need to know for the Hump Day edition.
Hump Day?
Sean and RJ. That's Roberto. We got PayPay Behind the Glass live on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube. The Hour of Ralph continues. We have Chopping It Up coming up at 7:40. Power rankings, by the way, at 8 are the Cowboys cracking your top 5, but let's do an around the NFL buy or sell. What are you fooled by? What did you get tricked by from week 1? Choppies, RJ, Ralph's NFL buy or sell is next. But let me get you some Hurtado barbecue, y'all. You know, I'm talking about the prime brisket, the unbelievable turkey, two different types of house-made sausage, the pulled pork. But I want to talk about some of the other things. During Fan Bowl, they came to me and they said, you got to try the Big Mike burger. There's a little Tolo influence there. We're sitting there talking about smash patties. Who doesn't love a great smash burger? Here's the Big Mike with fries over at Hurtado. 2 quarter-pound smash patties with American cheese, shredded lettuce, pickles, onions, and truffle aioli on a brioche bun. You know the brioche bun is undefeated. This would be my wife's order, the Big Papa. Keep your jokes to yourself. 1/2 pound of prime brisket stuffed into a baked potato with garlic butter, shredded cheese, and sour cream. Mexican cornbread, chopped brisket, street corn, cilantro, onion, cheddar cheese baked into a large cornbread muffin topped with garlic butter and honey to order. And don't get me started on the Texas Twinkies. I haven't had one person challenge me that I'm wrong, that is now the best bite of barbecue in Texas. The Texas Twinkies, bacon wrap, jumbo jalapeno stuffed with brisket, cream cheese, and pimento as well. Stop by, get the classics or any of the twists from the great Brandon Hurtado, and tell him Sean from the Fan sent you to Hurtado and HurtadoBBQ.com.
Today is a day of remembrance, but also an opportunity to thank those that serve in our military and our first responders. On behalf of all of our Turn It On, Leave It On listeners here at The Fan, you are appreciated.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
And that means we are commercial free. We're going to chop it up at 7:40, week 2 of the power rankings at 8, Brett Boone at 9, and Nick Eatman, DallasCowboys.com at 9:20 here on DFW Sports Station. Thank y'all for being Tolos. That stands for Turn It On, Leave It On. We will see you Friday in Burleson at Firehouse Number 1 with a brand new 105.3 The Fan giveaway. Chop it, let's go around the NFL.
828 Southwest Allsbury in Burleson is the address. All right, let's do this here. Let's do a little game here. I'll say I'm going to ask you a couple of things, and you tell me if it's more surprising that it happened or was it more telling about the other team.
Okay.
That it happened, okay? The Patriots beating the Bengals, was it more surprising that New England won, or does it tell us more about Cincinnati?
That's a good one. I'll say it's more surprising. Something's wrong with Zach Taylor at the beginning of these seasons. Every single year, since they got off to too bad of a start, what's going on with Burrow? I actually benched. The reason I'm saying it's not telling, I benched Burrow in fantasy. Whoa. When the Jamar, and I drafted him as my first quarterback.
Yeah.
And I put Tua in. I'm like, this just feels ugly. Like, no T. Higgins, that saga. Something's wrong with Zach Taylor at the beginning of these seasons. We still think that Cincinnati's going to be there. But obviously, that's a really, really bad loss. But I will say it's more surprising than telling. But what was, I guess, more funny than anything is Jerod Mayo talking about Jacoby Brissett against the Bengals.
You know, he went out there and displayed a lot of things. Like, you know, he's a tough guy. He's a tough guy that it really doesn't matter. And I talk about pulling the nose up on the plane, and he did that a few times and actually made some plays with his legs, which was which is surprising. He's like probably the slowest black quarterback in the league. No.
Funny.
That's great.
W-E-E-I, Jerod Mayo.
Boy, the Belichick era is over. You could...
Yes, it is.
Right?
Yes.
What do you think Joe Burrow's record is in the first 2 weeks of an NFL season?
How many years or how many games?
This is 5 now. So 9 games.
3-7.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
He's 1-8.
Oh.
With 12 touchdowns to 9 interceptions.
Wow.
That's weird.
That's bad.
So
that's
very weird. About par for the course. And I think we know who Chase and Higgins and Burrow, like, we know who those players are. They're not bad players. So it's just surprising that New England was able to handle it.
All right. Well, speaking of bad players, what's this? Is it more surprising what Sam Darnold and Minnesota did on offense, or more telling about Daniel Jones and the Giants?
There's nothing telling about Daniel Jones and the Giants, except that the New York Times has a stupid editor
who
has
Post
has a fire flames in the back of their cover today on 9/11. It's more surprising. And my guy, and I thank Netflix for this, my guy Kevin O'Connell, if he pulls this off, and by this I just mean them being 500
stable
or a game over stable with Sam Darnold, he's my next. He is my next. But that was a thorough ass whipping that took place against the Giants.
Yeah, I think that's telling about how bad the Giants are. Like it's just they are that awful. Because, I mean, Minnesota, I think there's probably, if they can remain around 500, that's great with Darnold and everything else that they have going on there. But to me, that's just still, Jonathan Greenard had said yesterday that he's like, we knew every single play that was coming. And then he was like, the boos were so bad, we felt bad. He's like, it was as loud out there than booing them as it should be when you're at home and your defense is in third down situation.
I do feel bad for Daniel Jones. I do.
I do too.
He looks like a nice guy.
Yeah.
I hate Daboll. I think Daboll tried to get him murdered with, at least last year, with all the running around that he calls for. They obviously haven't protected him. I thought Jones would be better. So some of that is my sympathy towards being wrong, along with Jared Sandler on Daniel Jones. I feel bad for the guy.
I feel bad
he didn't grow his beard earlier because he looks so much better with it.
I do feel bad for him as well. Minnesota's got San Fran this week, so that should be, and they were only a 4.5-point dog to start. Now it's up to 6.
And you bet it.
I took San Fran. I was early on that one. Miami's comeback win over Jacksonville. Was it more surprised that it happened, or more telling about Jacksonville and Trevor Lawrence?
Miami's comeback. There was a lot of comebacks in week one.
It was. More, you had 3 comebacks of 14 or more.
It's more telling about Jacksonville to me. I just love when they lose. I love rubbing it right in Bassick's face. I love that his Trevor Lawrence card collection is going up in smoke. I love all of it. It's just more telling. They had a lead, could not hang on to it. There's nothing surprising about it. It's just telling to me that Jackson fraud, they are what they are.
So telling that Jacksonville would lose that, or surprising that Miami would be able to come back.
Yeah.
I don't think it's surprising Miami would be able to come back because they can just, they're so explosive. Jacksonville.
There was a fumble late. Like, there was a fumble. Like, Etienne had a fumble, like, right near the goal line.
Jacksonville. Jacksonville's just kind of established themselves, I feel like, as chokers, though. Like, and that was kind of the precedent they sent last year. So, yeah, it's telling. It's continuing to show us who Jacksonville is.
All right. So, how about New Orleans, Carolina? Was it more surprising that New Orleans won a game by 37 and Derek Carr put up those kind of numbers? Or does this tell us more about how bad Carolina is?
Oh, that's a good one. I think it's more telling on how bad Carolina is. Like, I was getting ready to tweet out, line them up for the number one pick again. There was one point, it was 30-0 in this game. Derek Carr, like Baker ended up being the player of the week, player of Sunday. Derek Carr had that title after the first quarter. He was going off. Yeah. And the Panthers had gone 9 consecutive quarters without scoring now. Longest streak by an NFL team in 24 seasons since the 2000 Bengals. And I was getting ready to tweet out, put them on the clock, and it could not happen to a better tool than David Tepper, that owner, who I'm rooting against mightily.
Yeah, telling, because also, I know it's a year and a game in. We're getting really close to Bryce Young is just bad. Like, it's starting to get there really rapidly, just that you're not going to be able to bank on, well, it'll come around for him, but at some point you're just going to have to start saying he's not a very good player. And so I think it's just telling that Carolina is that bad. Although I will say, Derek Carr, that first touchdown throw he had, that was a really nice throw. And, like, he was playing really well. I think that was surprising how well he was playing. But ultimately, I think they'll come back down to earth against Dallas this week.
So going into this year, I thought surely like Atlanta was like the favorite in that division.
And they were the betting favorite.
They were the betting favorite. And then after like week one, I mean, it's not them. I'll tell you that. It ain't Atlanta.
Dude, I'm worried about that Cousins video if I'm Atlanta.
Too.
I am.
Well, yeah, I am too. And that brings us to the next one. Was it more surprising that Pittsburgh went in there and won with Justin Fields, or that Atlanta looked like that and it tells us more about Atlanta and what they are this year? That's a franchise that just can't get out of their own way.
Is it? Would
it's
not
more
be,
telling to me about Tomlin.
That's what I was about to say. Yeah. Is it not more like telling? Wouldn't it be the reverse, telling Tomlin and more just surprising that Atlanta was that bad?
Well, you can make it whatever you want. Surprising and telling whichever way you want it. But Cousins had a killer interception against them. It was bad. Really, really bad. But this, all I was thinking during that game, here's the greatness again of Coach Tomlin. What a stud.
He is. He's tremendous.
He's going to benefit more. Well, he won't benefit more if you have more titles. You have more titles, obviously. He's going to benefit from having scrubs after Roethlisberger. He's going to benefit so much by just being 9-8. Because his greatness is elevating in my mind while doing this and not even making any type of run in the playoffs. I don't find myself blaming Mike Tomlin. Why don't you win more? I'm like, oh, that's your quarterback and you're still over 500 in that division? Hall of Famer.
Not only is he over 500 every year, when he is an underdog in the game, he has won 53% of those games outright as a head coach.
How many times in history do you think a team has gone on the road, failed to score a touchdown, averaged under 4 yards a carry, threw for 130 net yards, and won?
Zero.
That, it's got to be. I didn't even get a chance.
Oh, you don't have the answer.
No, I'm just looking at the box score. There's no way this has ever happened before.
Yeah. It's so ugly. I can't stand watching them. I hate watching them. But they win.
Actually,
they win enough.
To answer that question, I do have that number for you. So Pittsburgh and Chicago both won this past weekend without scoring an offensive touchdown. It's the first time in 13 years that multiple teams won on the same week without scoring a touchdown. The last time it happened, 2011, Browns and Jaguars both did it without scoring a TD.
Mm.
So it goes back quite a ways. That is the surprising or telling. You want the stats of the week?
I have a surprising or telling.
Okay, go.
Is it more telling that Buffalo had to struggle like that against Arizona? Or is it more telling about Buffalo or more surprising that Arizona could be a surprise?
Yeah.
Matthew Berry, number one player, his must get was Kyler Murray. That was looking good early. Buffalo was down 17-3.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Allen had like two or three pass attempts. Kyler was 12 of 14. And then, by the way, that was our first dynamic kickoff return touchdown in history as the Cards ran it back 96 yards. So surprise or tell with Bills Cardinals.
Yeah,
Is it more telling about Buffalo?
I think
more surprising about Arizona.
I think there was 2 minutes left of the first half and Josh was 3 for 3 on passing. I think it's time about Buffalo because
I do too.
Bobby had mentioned like that is a very, very old roster. It is. It is very old. And Josh is going to be out there on an island an awful lot this year. And he did it. He did it in this one. And
banged his hand up too. They're worried about his left hand diving over the goal line like that.
Yeah. I think it was more telling about Buffalo.
Yeah, I think it's telling about Buffalo and just kind of where that now they I don't know why they weren't leaning more on Josh Allen. Josh Allen finished the weekend with like 138 passer rating. He was fantastic overall. I just don't know why they didn't lean into that a little bit more and let him connect with Keon Coleman, who doesn't know how to sign a contract, as we saw over the weekend.
That was scary.
Choppy gets the contract. He's like, do I just autograph it or do I write my name? They're like, dude, you just sign it.
The guy, the GM's like, sign it. Just sign
it's like,
it.
But an autograph or what?
I thought that was fake. Around the NFL with Ralph James Choppy before chopping it up during the commercial-free expressway. Get your top five ready for the power rankings at 8.
I've had some cool stats from this weekend. CBS Sports helped out with this one. There were three teams that came back to win on Sunday despite trailing by 14 or more during that game. First time in 45 years that three teams came back from at least two touchdowns during the opening week of the season. The Bears became just the third team in league history to overcome a 17-point deficit without scoring an offensive touchdown.
So we should talk about them for a second because Belichick and Michael Lombardi, they're looking right early about the Caleb preseason. Belichick was not impressed by it at all. And this is watching the games versus looking at the highlights. Belichick said he wasn't accurate. He was 10 for 20. There are a couple of highlight plays, but they weren't that good. And then Caleb's team goes and bails him out on special teams and defense in order to get that win. But that Bears offense, Caleb Williams, good.
93 yards.
It was 17-0 Titans.
Yeah.
And then Levis threw that bonehead pick six Tony Pollard ripping off things in the first quarter. He had 7 for 56 at one point in the first quarter, had a 26-yard touchdown, the former Cowboy. But I think Caleb ended up with, you said 93 passing yards.
Yeah, he was not good.
Yeah, but they got that win.
They did, and he also becomes the first overall number one pick to win his debut since 02.
David Carr.
Yes. So they've gone 0-14 and 1 in their debut since, and he was just 14 to 29 for 93 yards. So he's the second quarterback in NFL history to throw at least 25 passes while also throwing for under 100 yards. Desmond Ridder was the other.
Which one of you did David Carr block?
Oh, me.
Yeah, how did David Carr block you?
I think somebody snitch tagged me one time when I was like making a joke about him being awful. Like it wasn't even in.
Was this before you worked at NFL Network? Well,
I don't remember. It may have been when I was working there, actually, and we were technically on the same team.
Does he know who you are? Like, if he crossed you in the hallway right
Everybody
now?
Everybody knows who I am. No, he doesn't. I don't think he would.
Everyone knows you except the alarm clock.
Everyone knows you except the alarm clock. Look at that. Josh Allen had, for the fourth time, 2 passing and 2 rushing touchdowns in the same game. Ties him with Steve Young for the most games in league history with multiple rushing and passing touchdowns in the same game with 4. 30 kickers combined to hit 19 field goals from 50 or more. That is a new record for a single week. Boswell and Fairbairn both hit, Fairbairn both hit 3 from beyond 50. That's the first time in league history that 2 kickers have pulled that feat off in the same week. 50-yard field goals are the new 40.
Brandon Aubrey, I love you. I love the family, but screw you. Screw you, Brandon. You cost me a fantasy. I had a high shootout loss. I've already got my excuses lined up in the 105 through the fan league. People were crapping on my team. I scored like the second or third most highest points, and I lost to Larry Flores because of Brandon Aubrey kicking. And screw you, Amon-Ra St. Brown. You did nothing for me.
Yeah, you lost, Sean. I can't imagine my team losing week one in our fantasy league.
Did you win?
I beat Alec by 30.
What was your point total?
127.
Yeah, less than mine. You had like 30 points at one day late in the day Sunday. I was like,
yeah, I still had a bunch of guys that I had like 2 players in the Lions and I had 2 players in the Jets San Fran game.
What'd you end up doing?
I lost. I only had like 80 something points. I left so much of the bench. I left Jameson Williams and Xavier Worthy on the bench.
Okay.
So
wait, what are you doing? Why would you leave a Pat Mahomes target on the bench? You of all people.
First game, I didn't know how they were going to use it. I mean, he only got 4 touches. That dude got 4 touches and 2 touchdowns, baby. I know, it's crazy.
You're a hater on Worthy like Rodney Harrison.
That's right.
It's a Longhorns hatred thing from him.
So Gerard Mayo became the first Patriots coach since 91 to win his debut. He also became the first coach since 2010 to be an underdog.
Wait, say that again? What did you just say?
Gerard Mayo became the first Patriots coach to win his debut game since 1991.
It's a tricky stat.
There's been 3 coaches.
I know.
That's insane. It's the first Steelers Carol. Coach.
It's the first one since Belichick.
The first debut Steelers coach since 1969. Okay, there's been 2 of them.
I guess because it was been Parcells, Carroll, and Bill, right? Yeah. So that's that. But he's also the first coach since 2010 to be an underdog of 7 or more in his debut game and still won. Name that other coach.
What year?
2010.
Say the stat again.
First coach since 2010 to be an underdog of 7 or more in his debut game and still won.
Jason Garrett. I heard that yesterday.
Yeah. I did not realize they were a dog of 7 or more. That was a Giants game, right?
Yeah, but I mean, so they would count an interim then? Because he was interim at the time.
I guess they do.
And whiny ass Robert Kraft, he probably thinks he should go into the Hall of Fame for that. Look what I did, pick a Gerard Mayo, 1-0, put me in, wham, wham, Jerry Jones.
Commanders rookie rushes for 88 yards in the loss, so that's Jaden Daniels. Second highest rushing total for a QB in his first career game. Kevin Hogan had 104.
Which Dan Quinn said this week, we don't want Jaden rushing nearly as much as we did. That's not the plan. We're not going to have him run that much.
I didn't see the incident, but Dan Quinn was getting caught off for clock management by some of the Commander fans. I don't remember how he was in Atlanta, but they were killing Dan Quinn, and Ron Rivera was trending already. No louder offseason fan base than out of D.C. with the Commanders with all the Jaden Daniels hype, and they were not happy with something with the clock with Quinn.
Sergeant Slogan?
That's good.
That's such a good one. You guys in Atlanta did that. One more. Deshaun Watson, 0 for 10 on throws that traveled 15 yards or more in the air. The worst zero completion showing on deep throws by any quarterback since they started tracking that stat in 2006.
And these Brown fans, oh gosh, I'd love to taste your tears. Number one, they're saying, oh, are the Browns setting up Deshaun here? Are they paying someone for a false allegation to void the contract? But now they all want to come out and void the contract because he sucks. And they're like, the morality clause or some type of clause, cut him off of the team. Cut bait and bring Flacco back.
Yeah, the Browns with Kareem Hunt and Jim Brown always been very worried about morality clauses.
Ooh. I mean, they've got – there was a clause of the deal that says like if something new arises that he had an opportunity to tell them. So he could have told – if he told them about this when he signed the contract – which I have obviously no way of knowing right
unless now. Unless he says, yeah, I don't believe it ever – unless he said it never happened.
All right, if the clause could be enacted, would you – end it.
Yes.
If I'm Cleveland,
All right, you're already saying it's done.
Yep. What does it do to their cap?
I mean, if you've got an out where it's something where it can like void the deal.
So if it voids the deal, then they don't get hit with the cap.
Yeah. If it's like a clause that it kills, I think it would just void their contract.
What if he is suspended?
I don't know how it would work out with the suspension.
But he's 28 and you would end it. Start over.
Man.
He's broken.
That is clearly messed with his head. And I'm not a mess with the head kind of guy. That clearly has. Like, he is not the same dude.
NFL Power Rankings, 1 through 5, 5 through 1. Where did the country put America's team? Find out at 8 right now. Let's chop it up.
All right, here we go, fellas. Let's have a little fun today.
I would like to read you a email I got, Sean.
Oh.
From DirecTV.
Oh. I saw Shereen Williams talk about this. Were you worried last night? Did you find the debate? Find the debate on any other channel?
I found on a million other channels.
Or Jay's like, oh my God, I'm not going to be able to get it. I'm like, it's going to be on
everything. I just closed my eyes, went down, up and down. I just hit one.
Found it on Victory Plus.
Absolutely. Here's the email. Hi, Ralph. At DirecTV, we value customers like you have a passion for high-quality premium entertainment.
Oh, my.
Our priority is to provide you with a wide range of exceptional programming, on-demand content, news, sports coverage, live sports coverage, continuously striving to innovate and introduce. We are reaching out to you to let you know that DirecTV Choice price is increasing by $8.
Are you...
Suckers and losers.
This had to be one of those automatic tweets that someone scheduled. It was a scheduled tweet, just like the Miami-Dade Police Department tweeting about speeding after the Tyreek incident.
Yeah.
Because this is brain dead stupid.
Brain dead.
Like, I almost just pulled the trigger right there and like, all right, done and over with.
Yeah.
Have you decided what to do yet?
We're
so lazy. Me and you are so lazy.
So, like, I have the ESPN Plus app, or the ESPN app. So, as far as I know, like, I can't watch, like, NFL Countdown. But almost all the sporting events...
Oh, you're missing so much there.
I know. All the sporting events are on the ESPN app. Like, everything I've seen so far is available on... Like, the Monday Night game was ESPN+. Plus. The Tennessee game Saturday was ESPN+. Plus. So right now, I'm fine. I don't have to make a move today.
And you're not casting your phone onto the TV, right? Like, you've got it... Like, do you have a Roku device or something? Like, you've got the app downloaded on your TV?
It's on the TV. It's a regular smart TV, I guess, so it's just downloaded on the TV.
And they're going to try it. They're going to charge $8
more. $8 a month. I'm going to call up. I'm going to do something I don't do. I'm going to call up and complain.
Oh!
I'm going to call and complain.
Oh, man. I thought you treat service people.
Yeah.
Well, I thought you treat service people.
I'm not going to.
Are you the face of the company? You're representative?
They're not serving him now.
Yeah. I'm not going to berate them.
You should just try it through the website first and do it online.
To.
Like, without having to call. Like to, see if you can just type in a representative online.
Oh, yeah.
Try that first if you want to save yourself a little time.
Yeah.
And what are you going to say? What would you do?
I would say, look, I'm threatening to cancel. What are we doing here? You guys don't even have ESPN.
That's what you want. You want to get on the phone with their retention department.
Yes,
and get stuck for an hour.
Yeah, I don't care. I got time.
Man, I canceled Sirius because my wife got the new the Chevy Traverse.
Uh-huh.
Thanks to Platinum
Chevy,
Four.
Absolutely.
Justin Rudd, thank you, and your squad. Juan, shout out. And I'm getting stalked. I mean, it's like when it's not even worth breaking up with the girl because she's going to stalk you. It's like I shouldn't have broken up. Because I'm getting stalked by Sirius right now to get back on.
Yeah, I got...
going to get back on, but her car comes with the first three months. And it was like $30 a month at one point for the Sirius. And I was like, yeah, I'm canceling. And, oh, man, you may as well just stay in the relationship. because I'm getting hammered on the phone.
I don't use Sirius in my car, and so Kristen has it, but like I just haven't been able to change it over to the Explorer yet. It's been like a year, and she keeps complaining about it. She's like, we're paying for it. You don't listen to it. I would. Like, we need to switch this over.
So
give her the phone number.
Yeah.
Let her do it.
No, I know. That's true. She has time. She's
October
not working.
6th. That's when this all goes into effect. So I'm going to retention. You're right, Bobby. I need to go to retention. Do you remember the movie Goonies? How well do you remember that movie?
Good Goonies. Enough. Peyton, do you know what Goonies is?
Yes, I saw the sloth character.
Hey, you guys.
What do Goonies never do? Peyton.
No idea.
Goonies never say die.
Oh.
A sequel is happening with the original cast. The 1985 cult classic, according to a new report, is getting a sequel. They've been talking about this for years. So everyone's in this, from Corey Feldman to Sean Astin to Josh Brolin, Martha Plimpton to Cary Grant. I mean, everyone is going to be back in this one. Sloth.
John Matuszak is going to be in it?
I don't know. Is he? Is he?
No, he's dead.
Alive? I think he's dead.
No, he's dead.
But yeah, but I guess somebody is going to play him or whatever. But they are coming back with part two of the Goonies. I have no idea how they're going to make this work, because they're not kids anymore. The whole point is they're kids in a treasure hunt. One-eyed Willie.
I'm guessing, as with most of these shows where they jump 30 years in the future, don't they normally pick it up with like, oh, now their parents and their kids become new generation. And it just has like cameos, basically.
The Mega Millions has been won.
Oh, so Sean. You won, Sean.
You
and
got
you
me
didn't tell
really
us.
Excited. I tried to download the Texas Lottery app this morning. It was updating a new version. I tried to check it on my drive into work. Then I come in here and RJ goes, it was won in Texas. And I was getting ready to run down to the car and have the legal fight with you guys moving forward, because that would have broken up all of our relationships when I just gave you guys $2 million apiece, and that's it.
I'd have been totally fine with that.
No, you would not.
I would not have.
No, you would not.
I would have given five if it was me to you.
That's it?
If it was me to you, and I won.
All right.
And I won the $800 million.
All right.
I'd give.
Hang on, but I'm breaking the usual pact that we have, so I looked down and I was like, are they taking more taxes out of this than I'm used to? I thought I bought the wrong ticket. The winnings were $400 million. And the total was $8 million. So under our usual agreement, when we were sharing the lottery buy, I should have given you each $100 million.
Oh,
so
we're
you would have been fine if it was five apiece.
Well, yeah, if we were sharing.
Okay.
Right, but this one, you did this on your own.
If this is a buying on your own.
All right, you guys would not have guilted me or said, hey, man, we have an understanding. We have an understanding if one of us wins it?
If we go in together, obviously it's a splitting.
All right, I was worried about that.
Yeah, no, I mean,
these are the type of stupid lottery thoughts that you have as if you're actually going to win it. Yeah.
I would give, so if I won $400 million, I would set aside $100 million to give away. So I would
give away to
you guys on the show here.
Oh.
I would give, I would probably give $49 million to Choppy.
Oh, wow.
$50 million to Sean. He gets a $1 million bonus for getting me hired here.
Yeah, I'm the Jamar Chase.
Yep. $1 million to Peyton. That's all you get. And then nothing to Carter.
Oh.
That's what I did.
Wow.
Well, he would really set the building on fire. Could you imagine
that? Carter, that was
Bobby. I'll buy another building. Who cares?
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
Yeah, but so my heart skipped for a second when you said it was in Texas.
It was in Texas. So for the...
But where? You got to make people sick.
The third... This is in Sugarland.
Sugarland, it's not Sugarland.
I call it Sugarland, okay? I refuse to make that two words.
Yeah, come on, Carl.
I just got this email to me yesterday, this research. Texas.
Wait, sorry, Fred.
Texas has won the eighth least amount of money.
Carl Davis. Who's Carl Davis?
Davis was the Cowboys defensive tackle that got cut in training camp.
Okay.
Texas has won the eighth least amount of lottery money in lottery history.
See?
Which seems impossible.
Well, it's okay. So it's the 15th time that the lotto has been won in the state of Texas. The Mega Millions. I'm sorry. 15th time a Mega Millions jackpot was sold. The first since October when a $361 million prize.
All right. So I have to say it. Sugarland?
No, it's Sugarland.
No.
Okay. You can say Sugarland.
Yeah, it is Sugarland. I don't care for that.
Yeah. Sugarland. It makes sense. I'm going to visit Michael Jackson.
Yeah. I shortened it up. Sugarland.
Sugarland.
I don't care for Sugarland.
I mean, that's not how you say it. But
I don't care. They can pronounce it however they want.
How do you say the ice cream?
It's sherbet. Yeah.
Exactly. Texas, so we shouldn't listen to you on pronunciation.
Texas has won the lottery 264 times. That's compared to the most, which is Indiana, which has won it 1,271 times.
Do you guys ever drive up and down the highway and be like, that, I should buy it from that convenience store?
All the time.
And what goes into that thinking?
It just looks
like
run
you
down.
Want a raggedy one? Yeah, you want a good one?
I absolutely want
you
a raggedy
one. You
want
low traffic? You want high traffic?
Yeah, absolutely want a raggedy. Because
it makes the story seem better. Like, I went to that little raggedy one and I want it.
Yeah, I don't
want
to go to like the QT and get it or whatever.
No, it's too bougie.
I want to go to one that may or may not, like, I stick to the floor.
And you said Sugarland has all the money already?
That's a well-to-do town, right?
Parts of it. It's kind of like parts of it are really well off and parts of it aren't. I want to buy my lottery ticket for somewhere with bars on the window. That's how I make my determination. Bars.
Just a place that we stay on the road usually for the fan.
I want
stay
bars.
At our San Antonio hotel, first training camp that we had.
On the window.
Chopping it up here. Expressway, commercial free on 105.3 The Fan.
Okay, so this next one, this is pretty disgusting, I think. And tell me what you would do and how long you would last with your ladies with this one. So one of the newer beauty trends is women are rubbing garlic on their faces.
Oh.
The last time you did this story, you said it was crap, right? People are rubbing crap on
poop,
their faces.
Yeah, the poop on their faces. Right. Now, this is a new TikTok thing, I guess. Raw garlic for acne. They're rubbing garlic, cloves, rubbing it all over their face for their acne. On a scale of 1 to 10, how hot does the girl have to be for you to put up with her smelling like garlic out of her pores all day?
That's not the question. The question is, how bad is her acne?
What do you do? Do you lick her face because it tastes like garlic?
Now look, I love garlic. Yeah. Troy Hughes used to
eat garlic.
This would probably make you puke, Bobby. He would pop little garlic cloves like Tic Tacs.
Ew.
Yeah. Oh, and it came out of his pores.
Could you smell it?
Fat pores.
Yeah. Out of his jeans.
It did. It came right out of
his Michael Irvin Sparkle jeans.
It came right out of his Rockin' Republic jeans.
Yeah, I was trying to think of a brand. I don't know a brand like that. Smell like garlic all the time. I don't know how turned off I wouldn't be turned on. I don't know. You know, I don't know how huge of a problem.
Garlic isn't the worst.
Yeah.
Like
when you like bake or like fry or saute garlic, I think that smells awesome in the house.
Kristen always like complains about how like I won't kiss her if she's eating a pickle. Like if she's done
Kristen, you won't kiss Kristen. Kristen has 24/7 COVID. She has to with your underarms and your sweatshirt.
Oh my God.
She must have no smell. She got dead smell. But you're complaining about kissing her
pickles. Gross. Yeah.
Yeah, the pickles would be a worse smell than garlic, I think.
Pickles, worse smell.
You're the Italian who hates garlic, so you're the one who should be answering.
I'm not a huge fan of garlic.
Would you rather Sarah smell like garlic or onions? You have to pick.
Onions.
Onions,
absolutely.
Onions is so much worse.
I don't
so
mind.
So much worse.
Yeah.
On the airplane, you never go, who's that garlic? Oh. It's always who's got that onion.
It's the onion, no doubt.
And
no
there's
doubt.
A difference with raw onion smell and
absolutely.
Cooked onion. The cooked onion smell smells so good. Raw onion smell is horrific.
I'll tell you this. I do not like the smell of garlic at all. Like when you're getting like intimate. But
wait, how
you know
often
how many times that's happened with him?
As often as the new Patriots rookie
absolutely.
Coach.
But
the debut coach.
There is one thing worse than garlic smell like coming out, emanating from the pores. And that is hot dog breath.
Hot dog breath?
You season the hot dog.
You get a good hot dog burp, and there is nothing worse than that.
Yeah, there is a hot dog burp.
I could taste your intestines on that one.
One Gross. Through five, Kobe Choppy over here. One, one through five, five through one. Can the Dallas Cowboys crack your power rankings for the week? And how is the rest of the country looking at America's team after maybe the most impressive week one victory? Week two of the power rankings right after this.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.